This is the Rocker, Keith Ramsey from Deep South Paranormal, and you're listening to Steve and Naomi on Into the Unknown Realm on DTM Wicked Radio.
Unknown Realm with your hosts, Steve and Naomi from Stern Paranormal. Take a journey with us into a world that few understand and even fewer dare to go. On your home for everything wicked, DTMWickedRadio.com. Welcome into the unknown realm. I am Naomi.
And I'm tired. No, Steve.
No. We have a huge, happy, big birthday for Quiet Steve.
There's parties everywhere.
Huh?
Parties are going on everywhere.
Everywhere?
Yeah. Quiet Steve, A-Town.
Yeah.
That's my daughter. Happy birthday, A-Town.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. 8 years old.
Yeah, definitely.
Craziness.
Lots of craziness. Definitely. So, everybody, make sure you say happy birthday to our old Quiet Steve. He's, 39, 29 this year? No.
Sitting very quietly in the chat room.
Not quietly, actually, but definitely make sure you say happy birthday to him. Go on Facebook. We have a cute little picture of him with happy birthdays on it and all
cute,
that good stuff. Yeah. What?
Nothing.
Always making fun of me.
Wasn't my call, Quiet Steve.
Anyways, feels freezing this past week here in the lovely New England area. Went from super, super, super hot to now super, super, super cold.
Break out the jackets.
Yeah.
It ain't getting warmer.
No, it's definitely not.
Definitely not. You know what? It'll get warmer in the next, 9 months for a butt up than the cold again.
You think so?
Yeah, welcome to New England.
Yeah. I am
super excited, though. I just bought me a house.
Yay, congratulations.
Nothing big, but it will do me just fine.
Yeah, it'll work for you.
I am very excited about that.
Definitely. We have exciting things going on. Come October 5th, we have a fantastic event. Absolutely thrilled because those of you who have followed our team Stirs, we have the pleasure of being on My Ghost Stories for the Seacoast Observatory Theater.
Here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Exactly. A great big piece of history.
They have let us in before too, but sorry. You were just saying
No, go right ahead.
This is our fifth time going into the Seacoast. And our second event, and it is always an honor to be let in there, and always very, I'm always interested in finding what we're going to catch, because even though nothing really happened at the last public event, it happened after the public event when the people left. I actually heard someone pushing a push broom across the stage, and then the footsteps coming off the stage and blocking up the lights. Just insane. I love the place. So.
You know, being in the paranormal, you always question your brain. did I see that? That didn't happen.
I don't have a brain, therefore I can't question
it. You do, too. Stop it. But anyways, so we are going back there. We have a limited amount of tickets for this event due to, the size of the place.
We want to make it personalized, and we want to make it so it's no contamination if people do want to try to get some EVPs. So.
And the absolute best experience for you folks. So it's October 5th. That's a Sunday. It's at 7 p.m. So we have the honor of having a gallery during that time.
Gallery reading.
Yep, a gallery reading. And
the very, very lovely Dina Flanagan is going to be there to do the gallery reading, which ironically is the first person who I've ever had a gallery reading by, which is kind of cool. And so that will be cool for anybody who's interested in maybe having a little contact with someone from your who's passed away. That will be awesome.
We're also going to do a 101, show some people some equipment and how it sort of works and what we sort of do.
And well, the segment that SIRS, our team, was in for My Ghost Stories, right there in the theater.
What a
place to
see it.
Right on the big screen. Yep, and then we'll do the ghost hunt. We're also doing raffles. These are items that have been donated by some fantastic paranormal greats in the paranormal field that have been signed by them. Also some investigations that have been donated. And we are doing this for half the money for the tickets to get in, which is only $25. Half that money is going to help preserving the Seacoast Route. The other half we're going to donate, the team is going to donate to the Boston Children's Hospital. And all the money that we get from the raffles is going towards the Boston Children's Hospital.
Love that place.
Yes. We are very touched by that personally, Steve and I, because both of our daughters have been affected very well by that
hospital. Yep.
And so make sure you get your tickets. I know several of them have been already purchased, so it's very limited. You can go to the seacoastrep.org to get your tickets there, or go right directly to the box office. I believe you get them online. There is a service fee by the ticket agency, not by the rep, but the ticket agency, or you can call them. Phone number is 603-433-4472. If you are nowhere near here, that's sad because you're going to miss out an awesome event. So make
sure. But you can still get raffle items because we're going to do it through the whole month of October.
Yep, to get the best of.
So we'll put them online and on Facebook sites, and you can definitely get a hold of those. And we're actually going to give the raffle items away here on the show, right, on the 29th.
We're going to announce the winners.
I believe it is.
Yeah. So definitely come join us, meet all of us.
With all the people that have asked me to get into the Seacoast Rep, there's a chance.
Here's your opportunity, because
yep.
Our team is the only one that's been in there. Which
let's
is,
fill it out so we can fill up another event.
Yeah, exactly. Coming next week, we have Chris Rondina coming to our show. Amazing author. I am excited. He's actually another person who's donating to the event, signed book and an investigation. So that's so cool.
I hope I win.
Buy your tickets. Anyways. Without further ado, we have some fantastic guests that we absolutely love. We always have a great time whenever we see them. They're part of our paranormal family, friends. Always love being around them. And last time we were together, we had actually a really, really great dinner with them. So we'd like to welcome what I call the dynamic duo, Riley and Stephen Black, to our show from Black Club Paranormal and Club Para. Welcome, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
No español.
No habla.
No.
So you guys, welcome to our show. Finally have you on the show. It's so funny because, Riley, we were on your show, well,
almost a year ago.
Yeah, probably a year ago, if not longer, which thank you for having us on your show. And it's like, we've never had the Blacks on our show. What's wrong with us? We need to get them on our show because you guys are certainly very entertaining too. So that's awesome. So I'm glad finally we're having you on the show, and just want to know what's new with you guys and maybe talk.
What's up with the Blacks?
Yeah, what's sounds like a TV show.
Oh, well, we've been kind of taking a break for a while from things. We love hanging out with you guys. By the way, we miss you, and when you asked us to come on the show, we're like, hell yeah, we have to come and visit some. Anyway, we kind of took a break for a while and just, you know, we needed a break.
I definitely understand
that. Why would you be kind of weird?
I'm looking at him.
What did you say, Steven?
No, we've been, I guess, kind of staying low as far as publicity and stuff like that. We've done, like, numerous private investigations and stuff, but we're not talking about things and we're not posting and, you know, any of that crap.
Yeah, when we do private investigations, you know, we don't want to, you know, say where we're going or try to keep it as close as possible. You know how it is. So we don't, you know, we've been doing that off and on here for a little bit. You know, as far as events and everything goes, we've been taking a break until November. And then it kicks back up one more time for us before the end of the year.
Well, for you.
For me, yeah.
Riley scored a magazine cover. And so they're for the Grindhouse Girls. And they have invited her to represent at Comic-Con.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm a member issue of the Grindhouse Girls magazine, so you got to check that out when that comes out. And I'm going to be at the Rhode Island Comic Con all weekend, so come down there and come say hi and you know, check it out. Get your picture taken with the Grindhouse Girls.
So that means I'll be there all weekend.
He'll be, my security.
And get your picture taken with me.
We'll have to go so I can hang out with Steven.
Okay, so those of you of our listeners who aren't familiar with the Blacks, these are two very beautiful people. You definitely want to have pictures taken with them. Very beautiful people. They take very good care of themselves.
I think I'm good looking too.
Yeah, you are a good looking man. But we're talking about him.
I like taking pictures of Riley.
He does.
We were talking about this when we were having dinner. Riley, obviously, you know, you get like those little comments and Steven too about, oh, wow, what a hot, you know what I mean? But to me, when I look at the pictures that you guys take or in, you know, I definitely appreciate the beauty in it as in, you know, artwork. You know what I mean? I mean,
very nicely done.
Yes, very, very nicely done. And I love the pictures because you guys make them so beautiful. And I mean, it not only takes, you know, the person, but it also takes the lighting, the environment, the angles and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm amazed about how many beautiful pictures, Steven, that, you know, you take and how gorgeous they come out. And I love them. I always get excited when the new pictures come out. Like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I mean, and the environment.
It's kind of a year process that we do this when we get ready to do photo shoots because it's, We actually have to sit and plan the outfit because we have, like, multiple changes, like maybe four or five different outfits. We got to pick a location. We got to see if it's accessible. And then what are we going to add to it to make it different than what it already is, like different ideas and designs. And we try to gather it all up and do it within a time frame that you know how New England weather is. It just turns on a dime.
Oh, yeah.
You got to try to do it while you got the good weather. So this year we had pretty crappy weather for summer, and we had to kind of squeeze everything in like the 2 months of good weather we did have. So it's all crazy.
Last year we were able to do some shots like at in Newport and stuff like that, but this year we couldn't get out there.
I didn't even get to surf at all.
I know. We didn't go to the beach.
I'm heartbroken.
You know, I've noticed, like, with being in the paranormal, I've seen the beach a whole lot less than I used to.
What's the beach?
What's the beach?
That's how it was for us, too, for the first 2 years of us being thrown into the spotlight of things. But we kind of, like, had to say no to a lot of people and just, like, get our own personal time back because it was just sucking so much family time away from us that we didn't even know each other anymore. We just kind of pushed back some. you know, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that we did, and I cut back Club Para, and I decided I'm going to put that on the back burner for now, and we're going to do Black Cross Paranormal and bring that a little bit more forward this year, because we haven't been doing that except for now the private investigations. We've kicked it up a little bit.
Now, Riley, I think I saw that you were a guest host recently on a radio show, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Will Scoville's radio show. I think it's Voices of the Unknown.
Yeah.
So awesome. Oh, my God. I'm going to get an angry letter from Will now.
She knew she had to call a certain phone number.
Yeah. Just, all you got to do is give me the number and the time of the day and Eastern Standard Time, you know, and just that. That's all I need to know. Everything else, I get confused, so. But, yeah, it was fun hanging out with Will. We did talk a lot about different topics and stuff, and, you know, we played some games, which is awesome. Yeah, we played some, you know, Q&A games.
You know, I listened to a little bit of your End of the World show. I want to say for at least an hour, a little over an hour, and then, like, I was literally listening to it while I was at work because it was archived, and I believe you found it on the web connected to another link. I won't say to what, but I'm like, oh, I should listen to that. So I listened to it. So it was kind of cool.
The world's ending?
Huh?
The world's ending?
No. This
oh.
is back when
no,
supposedly
it was
the world was ending.
End of the World party on Club Para was 3 hours long, and it had over 30 different celebrity paranormal guests, just everywhere from Grant Wilson to Nick Groff, you name it. It just went on down the line. And I thought it would be a really good idea for these people to come on the show and have other people get a chance to talk to them, you know, and ask them a question or two, because they didn't get to go to these parafests or these horror cons or whatever because they can't afford to travel. So this was an easier way. And it was them saying thank you to everybody who participated. So it was kind of like a participation, you know,
with
an appreciation. So toward the last, I think it was hour and a half, there were some really cool guests on. It was like Bishop James Long, Candy Costa, like, and on and on and on. And John Tobin was one of them. I remember that. And great discussion. But I was tired. Holy crap.
That's what I was going to ask you. I'm like, how the hell did you get through 3 hours? That's crazy.
Alcohol. 3 hours, you know, with 30 guests, you got to actually, in radio, you got to break it down in time. And, like, 20 seconds might not seem like a lot to some people out there, but when you're doing radio, you could do, you know, whatever you need to in 20 seconds, you know.
Right.
So I had each guest fall in 15-minute time frame. And I tried to get them to call in consecutively so I didn't have to worry about missing anything.
That was a huge project.
Yeah, it was.
So much work that, you know, that she did in the background. And even the promotional work and the videos and
the
flyers
videos,
and everything.
Yeah.
It was just so many months and months of work before it happened, before she could make
See,
it.
See, I wanted people, when they saw the music video that Steven did, I wanted it to be funny. So when you tuned into the music video, it was like a radio station being tuned into different, you know, stations, went from Mexican Latin dancing to 1940s radio music to, you know, screeched or whatever. Then the video came, it showed everybody that was going to be there. And it was Spirit in the Sky was playing. That was my song. Spirit in the Sky, and then you see the world at the end of the video, and then it just explodes.
Now, I could hear that. I remember hearing that video on the show, so I'm like, at first I'm listening to it, I'm like, did they, like, mess up the music? Is something playing? And then I listened to it a little more, I'm like, oh, this is on purpose. Okay, they're, like, mixing it up, and I'm like, that's awesome.
I was talking about, like, people tuning in to a radio station if that's how you were doing the old-time dials. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So,
That's right.
Huh?
That was a big project.
Very big project, yeah.
You know, last year we decided for our Halloween show that we were going to do something which sounds like very similar to that. We were having people call in little segments to tell.
Every 15 minutes.
Yeah. I don't even think it was 15 minutes. I think it was like 10 minutes. And to call in and tell their scariest ghost story. And, you know, I told them ahead of time, okay, it's this amount of time. I need you to call in like 5 minutes before your time, blah, 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 blah. And, oh, my gosh.
we were only on the radio for 3 months at that point, too.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I think overall it went very well. But, yeah, like you're saying, Stephen, it was like, you know,
a lot of prep and a lot of work
of making sure, first of all, you know, we had the people to call in and that they had their time slots. And, you know, there's these people like, well, I can't call until this time. And what about this? And then, of course, last minute changes. And then people are like messaging me, oh, when did you want me to call in? Oh, 5 minutes ago. You know? And it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun because, I mean, it was all these fantastic people with great stories, and I loved it. And I don't know, maybe something we should do again. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
It was fun, you know. It was a lot of fun, and getting to talk to all these people is fantastic. You know, so many people out there doing similar things to what we're doing, you know, making it happen.
Yeah, you know, we are very fortunate because, I mean, you know, as you know, we do this because we love to do it. It's fun.
Just like you guys.
Yeah, you know, and, yeah, it takes a lot of work. I mean, I remember talking to Riley.
When you guys first told me that you were going to start a radio show, I was like, it's a lot of work.
Yep.
It's not easy.
Exactly.
I have to do it by myself. I usually drag Stephen down the road with me, kicking and screaming, but he does.
That's Naomi. I kick and scream too.
No. He's like, are we ready for the show? Yeah. We? I don't know about you. You know?
Awesome.
I'm ready, but I don't know. Are you ready?
I just go along and I say, yes, dear. That's it.
We get the countdown to go on air, and I'm like, all right, time to get pumped. whatever happens.
But I love it because we've spoken to some amazing people that, you know, without doing this radio show, we would never have the opportunity to really talk to them. And you know, everybody that we talk to is just awesome. I mean, I'm amazed how just down to earth a lot of these people are. And it's a lot of fun, you know, and the sense of humor is, oh, my gosh. You know, stuff like actually someone who's in our chat room, Flip, Searles.
Flip.
He is so funny. But anyways, so.
Is that the real infamous Flip?
The infamous Flip. Yep, he's in the chat room.
Well, I was like, Flip.
He's like a little old
man. PSG. Is that really him?
It's hi, Flip.
How are you doing, buddy?
He's pretty quiet,
Flipper.
Actually.
That's, yeah. Yeah, Flip, are you awake?
Hi, Christine Carson is in the chat room. We just want to say hello, Christine. Thank you for joining the show tonight, Chris. And Stephen Earhart. Oh, my God, don't kill me.
Earhart.
Yeah.
So you guys founded Black Cross Paranormal. And Riley, you are, I would say, gifted as an empath, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Special.
You know,
yes,
there is no one quite like Riley Black.
No, there's only one of me, thank God. I couldn't handle two of me.
Not either, yeah.
We had to fight to death.
Well, maybe for like an hour or two, but that's about it.
I'd fight to death.
So what brought you guys to start Black Cross Paranormal? What brought you that day? It's like, hey, we should...
Yeah, how'd that conversation go?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Well, we talked about it when
we were doing it anyway.
Started dating.
Both had experiences, you know.
We sat on the couch one night and we were talking about it again, and you know, I told him, I said, there's a cemetery right up the road and I want to go check it out, and it was a full moon. And it was North Burial Ground. Now, I just came out of service, so I didn't really know the area all that well. And so he dragged me in there, and I looked at the moon, the full moon, as it was, like, cascading across the tombstones and the crosses there, and it lit up, like, black crosses, like, over hundreds of acres. So
110,
yeah.
To be exact, sorry.
So I said, we need to start a paranormal team. I said, people need to hear this. He didn't really think that, you know, I mean, he's had his own experiences. But to really do this, he didn't really think that we would actually have anything worth showing until we actually put it out there for people to hear it.
Yeah.
And then that's...
He really didn't. I was like, well, you know, we'll try it. We'll give it a shot. And we did it, and we actually came up with some really good stuff. You know, we captured some really amazing EVPs once we started, you know, investing in some better equipment and stuff.
I still like to go with my $20 Walmart recorder. I still love that thing because I got some awesome EVPs from it. I really have.
You know, that's my favorite piece of equipment because that's usually the thing that I get the best evidence on. And,
yeah, we don't have, like, you know, every equipment that's out there known to man. We've seen it, we've played with it, we've touched it, we've caressed it. You know?
I was like, this is
definitely
sexual.
The
baby, what are you doing?
But the things that we like to go do is just the regular, you know, handheld recording devices and the POV glasses.
I know, we really...
Don't take anything.
Go with, like, bare minimum now. It's great.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have the glasses that were seen on Ghost Hunters, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you guys want to talk to our listeners a little bit about those?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
that's all you,
babe. Basically, they're point-of-view video glasses. They record both video and audio. And you can also put them in, like, a picture mode and snap JPEG pictures if you want. Never do that. Well, we usually just put them in, you know, video recording mode. And they are full spectrum. So we use – actually, we have these attachments. We put them on the side of the glasses. They're IR lighting, and they project the IR light. And it's like, you know, any, I don't know, night vision camera almost, except it's not, we can't technically call it night vision, but it's full spectrum with the use of an IR. And you just wear them like glasses and it gives you hands free. So we usually just take, you know, a pair of glasses or a couple of pairs of glasses and a digital recorder or, as Riley said, you know, the little $20 recorder from Walmart. And
we go.
And then we go.
I mean,
maybe a Mel meter or something.
We would go do Slater Mill investigations all the time. And every time we dragged in our equipment box and our batteries, within 20 seconds of changing the batteries from new to old, like, you know, changing the batteries out, they kept getting drained. So we got tired of it, you know, because the spirits there just kept doing it. And they think it's funny. We don't, you know. We leave the equipment in the car, so we just started bringing less and less, so we didn't have to keep changing the damn batteries. And then we started going over the evidence in the POV glasses, and I was like, oh, you can get audio evidence, you can get video evidence. It's great. It really is, and it fits right over your own glasses if you wear them, if you have to wear corrective lenses.
Yeah, we actually take the lenses right out.
Really?
Just wear them.
Yeah.
You pop the lenses out and just wear them without.
And you'd be amazed, those little 2x2 little IR light boxes, you have one of those, excuse me, it'll light up a whole room.
Wow.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Actually, one of the best pieces of video evidence that we've captured, like, you know, I don't know about every team out there, but we have had a real hard time capturing video evidence. We get more audio evidence than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we have shadows and stuff on video, but you can't really say that's anything because, you know,
a lot of the stuff you can debunk.
Yeah.
But as far as video evidence goes, the best piece of, I hate to call it evidence, but
the best piece of data that we've captured
has been off the glasses. And it is from Slater Mill. And Riley, anyone that knows Riley, she's 6 feet tall, and she was standing up. We were at Slater Mill, and I was leaning against something across from her, and I was looking at her, and there were a bunch of people sitting on the floor in a circle, and we were trying to, you know, speak with the spirits, and for the most part, they've experienced child spirits there. Well, we captured it looked like a 7-foot man walking behind Riley.
See, that's the thing about being an empath is that once they know that I know that they're there, they follow me all over the place. And it's sometimes a good thing, sometimes it's not really a good thing.
Because if you know what I know, then they know what we know.
And you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
And then you know what happened to
that. Don't you know?
you know.
No.
But anyway, you know, as far as the glasses go, you just turn them on and you walk around. You forget that they're even recording video. It's not, you know, when I was carrying the camera, you know, the handy cam or whatever, you have, carrying it around and then
A little.
Do you have this? You know, and you're carrying a bunch of things around, and you got your case.
We were on the USS Salem, and I was the only one not carrying equipment at first. And then next thing I knew, I was loaded down with everything. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I just grabbed my recorder and I walked around. Stephen put on a pair of glasses. Didn't even open up the case once during the whole investigation, and that's where we were like, you know what, that's it, the case is staying in this car.
I carried it for, we were there for 6 hours, and I carried it for 6 hours, didn't even open it.
Really?
Now, if anybody's ever been on a battleship before, they know what the staircases are like. It's like a ladder that goes down a rope ladder with very little room.
Yeah, and they're almost straight up and down.
Right.
Steve knows. Yeah. Well, I mean, this Steve knows. Steve Clark knows. Well, actually, Steve E. knows, too.
Yeah.
Quiet, Steve. They work
on
the shipyard.
You know.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, how was that going on the USS Salem for you, Riley? I know I whack my head off submarines all the time, so. I mean,
and you're tall.
I was pretty used to it, actually, going in and out, you know, because I've been in the Coast Guard for 6 years, so for me, it's just, you know, it's second nature. I didn't have any issue whatsoever. I kind of was like telling Steven, watch your head, duck, watch your head, duck. And he goes, you should watch your head. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I know where I'm going. You know, and we went down to the very bowels of the ship.
We weren't supposed to,
but we did it anyway, you know. That's the blacks for us. That's the blacks for you. They don't listen to nobody. Nobody. No.
What?
Oh my goodness. I know there's so many like times where, you know, and I mean, you see it on the shows as well. Like, you know, you hear a noise or whatever. Your natural reaction is to turn your head and look or listen or whatever.
Camera.
Not your camera. You're like, oh yeah, I have a camera. Let me turn it that way. You know, so there's a delay. I'm sure with the glasses, it's like instant, you know, you automatically turn, you know, hoping to catch something or whatever, a little quicker than a regular old handheld, which makes it a great advantage of having those glasses, I'm sure.
Well, and you forget you even have them on, you know.
Yeah, you do, and it's so easy to just to have them on your face and be looking at something when you hear it, and hope, you know, you don't have to pick up your camera, you know, and quickly swing around and be like, oh shit, I forgot it, or I missed it. Well, forget off the subject about you.
You know.
Now I'm stuck on it, you know?
You were raised in a house full of spirits. Do you want to tell us and our listeners a little bit about that?
My grandmother's house is backwoods mountain country home, okay? It's like in the deep Endless Mountains of northeastern Pennsylvania. It used to be 15 members of my family had died in that house since the 1800s. And they didn't take them to any funeral parlors or anything. What they did was they displayed them in the room near a huge picture window so the smell would go out the window and people could come and visit before they went into the ground or into the keeper. In the 70s, that room that everybody was being viewed in became my bedroom. So mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to bunk with these things. I call it these things because when you're 5 years old, it you don't know what it is.
Right.
You know, the crap out of it. You know, and then when I turned 16, you start seeing the movies coming out. You start getting the interesting books you could read on the subject. Before, in my house, my mother is Russian Orthodox, so you don't talk about stuff like that. It's black and white, and there is no spirit that walks the earth. They're all demons.
Yep, they're all demons. Did you guys know that?
Oh, yeah. I have been told.
My mother thinks this is an ongoing joke. I tell her I investigate spirits, and she goes, no, you hunt demons. And I said, no, I don't. And then she'll call me up, are you still chasing demons? And I'm like, yes, I am.
Especially the orb demons.
Then she'll try to give me a lecture, and it's just like poking the bear, so I have to stop, you know? She tries to give me a lecture on the Bible, and I just, like, scientifically try to tear it apart, and she just gets all pissed off, so.
I'm not actually overly religious. I mean, I believe in God, and, I've been to church a few times, but I've had those conversations with people that think that we're hunting demons, and the same thing. And it's actually pretty funny because one person actually asked, I said, so it is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, correct? And when they said yes, I said, so that would make, if I'm ghost hunting and it's actually a demon, then that'd be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Demon. And they had nothing to say about it. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to down anybody's religion because that's not what I'm here to do. But if all ghosts are demons, then, I mean, that's, what, you know, what is that? Because I've always been called the Holy Ghost.
I tell my mom, you know, if you think that I'm making this stuff up, then come listen to some of the stuff that I've captured. And she won't do it. I said, you go talk to your priest. I said, if your priest tells you that there are spirits that walk among us, will you believe me then? She said, yes. I said, so if the priest tells you it is okay, then it's okay. But if I tell you, you don't believe me. She goes, that's right. I'm like,
that's right.
What?
You know, it's funny.
Right?
My mom, she, you know, I was brought up that way. Like, you know, the whole, you know, there's no ghost. You know, if it is, it's, you know, demons or whatever, you know. And it's funny because, you know, my mom, she's, you know, totally dead against the whole, you know, ghost hunting thing. But it's funny. She is, like, the most curious one of all. Like, she, like, has questions and, like, be reviewing evidence and, you know.
She's right in there.
Yeah, yeah. She wants to check
she
it
wants
out.
To know what that was. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, but no, it doesn't happen. No.
Whatever gets people by, I guess.
That's true. I don't find out eventually. That's what I tell them.
What I seem to notice is that a lot of people who have not had a personal experience are, you know, they're overly skeptical, which makes sense. You know, if I never had an experience, I'd probably feel the same way.
Right. You were right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of us, we need to, you know, see,
you
feel.
Right in the face,
yeah.
With it.
Like, hello, I'm right here. You know,
yeah,
and I'm the same way. You know, I need that smacked in the face kind of thing. And sometimes it's like, even when that happens, it's like, did that really happen? You know?
Yeah, you're testing yourself. You're like, what?
Yeah.
So, Steven, since you brought up the, you know, when your first paranormal experience, you want to explain what your first paranormal experience was?
Oh, my first experience, it wasn't until, geez, I was in my late 30s. And if anybody knows me, or if you, even if you don't, I'm 50. So that was like
really?
12 years ago. Yeah, that was a little over 12 years ago now. So,
holy crap. Did you think he was
normal? No. That's paranormal.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's Abby normal. I was, most of you who know me know that I'm a kind of like a fitness fanatic. And I was in my aunt's basement. This house is well over 100 years old. It was built by shipbuilders. Ship, S-I-S-H-I-P is Paul. and if you go into the basement, you see, like, it, the ceiling looks like the hull of a ship. So it's pretty, you know, pretty cool house. But we had, like, three treadmills hooked up down there. And this particular time I was down there by myself, and I had just finished running a 5K on the treadmill. And I shut the treadmill off, and I turn around, and right behind me was a full-body apparition. And this guy is staring right at me. And I'm staring at him, but I'm also staring through him. And I was totally startled. Like, I wasn't, like, scared or freaked out, but I was startled. I mean, that could have been my mother standing there, and it still would have scared me, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, startled.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Something you didn't expect to see.
Exactly. You think you're alone, and you're not. So I felt like I almost froze. And I don't know how many seconds went by, but we were just, like, staring at each other. And then he darts away into the wall. And the wall is, like, huge stone wall. Like, it's made out of huge stones. And he just disappeared into the wall. And I'm standing there, and I'm shaking my head, and I'm walking in a circle, and I'm going, am I going crazy? Did that just happen? What just happened? So I'm kind of freaked out, and I go upstairs to the second floor where my aunt was, and I told her, I said, you know, you're going to think I'm nuts. I got to tell somebody this, you know, this just happened to me. And when I told her what I had seen, she starts laughing at me. And she says, oh, you met the captain. And I was like, the captain? What are you talking about? And she goes, yeah, the captain. And now, this is the house that I had grown up in when I was little, very little. And then I moved to Massachusetts. But apparently this ghost, if you will, or spirit, he used to taunt one of my uncles, like not do anything bad to him, but scare him. You know what I mean? Like, he would knock things over in his room and do stuff like that. And some of my aunts and uncles knew about it, but they never told the younger generation because they didn't want to scare us. So, I mean, she thought it was hilarious. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, what's going on? And now, I was brought up Roman Catholic. So my whole belief system, heaven, hell, and purgatory, was just thrown right out the window. I was like, well, wait a minute. there's something more out there. You know what I mean? So it really turned me around, and that's when I started to get into investigating. Well, I can't say that's when I first started, because I know when I was a teenager, I'd go into graveyards and stuff like that.
You bad boy.
You know. but that was my very first experience, and I will never forget it. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable when something like that happens to you.
Yeah.
Makes you question yourself.
Definitely. Yeah. Can you imagine,
I'm just glad that other people in my family had experiences and could validate, you know, my experience.
Can you imagine what the captain was thinking as he's watching you, thinking, okay, he's running, but he's not going anywhere.
He's not moving.
What
right.
is he on? Why
well,
isn't he going anywhere?
But if you think about, you know, three treadmills in the same room and
right.
how much energy or electricity that can
right.
generate. I mean, they were all plugged in. Probably only two of them were actually physically turned on. Probably more than enough to create help with a manifestation.
You know, thank God that you didn't, like, see him in front of you. And you were running, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you shut it off and you turned around, and there he was. But, I mean, thank God, you know, you weren't running anymore and the treadmill was going.
He popped his head out of the wall in front of me, you know. I would have been like one of those people on YouTube.
Like, right?
Yeah, they're still right off the back.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, what an experience. That's like, wow. The things we experience.
The captain. Everybody should have a little captain in them.
Captain, oh, captain.
Captain. I feel like putting one foot up on the table and saying that.
Right.
Right?
White C says, would have been like George Jetson with Astro. Right?
Yeah.
So I would love for each of you to tell us, like, probably your most memorable thing, like EVP or thing that happened while investigating, as your team as Black Cross Paranormal, that you could share with us.
For me, that's a tough one, because I have a lot of different experiences. And the worst one I could think of.
Riley always gets, like, physically abused.
I do. They beat the crap out of me.
Really?
Shit.
She gets hit, punched, slapped.
Thrown downstairs.
Yeah.
You name it.
She gets it.
We need to go. We need to go ghost hunting with you guys.
I feel different energies when I go into a location, whether they be, you know, living or dead, whether something's there or not. I just feel the energy. Sometimes when the energy is very strong, the back of my teeth vibrates. The back of my tongue goes numb, and I get this metal taste in my mouth, and that's why I know shit's gonna hit the fan. Get out of there quick.
Wow.
Sometimes it comes up so quickly that I don't get a warning. You know what I mean? I don't get that feeling of stop whatever I'm doing to get out of there. You know, the spirits don't mind communicating with us, but if they get pushed to a limit, they will push back.
Right.
It's not from unpushing.
It's from it's from over years and decades and whatever of having people ask questions, no answers given. You know, frustration can weigh on something, even if it's dead, you know, the energy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It can turn negative.
But we always try to be, you know, respectful. And, I mean, we may do, like, I don't know if you want to call it role-playing.
We role-play.
That's the word that comes to my mind.
It's not in that way. It's weird because...
You know, it.
I will sit like in a location and kind of go into like a trance, and I can actually feel myself in that time era. And you have to remember that back then they didn't have cars, they didn't talk the way we did, women were not outspoken. We did what we were told to do. We took care of the children, we took care of the house. The men worked. That was it. They took ships in the springtime to go back to Europe to gather more supplies because that's when the seas were the most common.
Mm-hmm.
They hunted deer, rabbit, squirrel. They didn't go to the supermarket. So you have to picture yourself back then, and how would you speak back then, and how would you talk? And mm-hmm. sometimes I get carried away when I don't get an answer, and I get a little riled.
No.
Yeah. I get a little riled, and we were at Slater Mill, and Joe Chin from Ghost Hunters with Ghost Hunters International was there, and I got a little bit riled up, and I told that spirit I wasn't going to fix whatever it wanted for dinner. He needed to come out and tell me, and it did.
Really? So what happened?
It came through the room. Everybody's K2 meter lit up like a Roman candle. Ryan, our son, had the millimeter, and it went to 23.7. And
wow.
Went out the door saying, "You ain't the devil," and just went flying past us.
Yeah, it got a Class A EVP that says, "You ain't the devil." And Joe actually got pinched. Joe gets pinched.
Every time he comes
too.
With me, he gets his butt pinched.
Yeah, he gets
and that's not, I don't pinch his butt. Something else pinches his butt. I get slapped in the mouth. I was pushed down a flight of stairs at North Burial Grounds, when was it, last year, and I got cut up and bleeding pretty bad.
We got a Class A EVP out of that, too.
He's trying to help me up, and I'm telling him to turn on the recorder. I can't breathe because I got the wind knocked out of me. And he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Turn on the recorder."
So I turn on the recorder, and I ask the question, you know, "Did you just push Riley?" And this voice, like, I mean, it's like the whispery, nasty voice that comes across and it says, "Yes." It was, like, nasty.
Well, you do that good, Steve.
Well, I think they remember me. I think they remember me because a month beforehand, we went in there prior with another team to do an investigation, and we are always respectful when we go there. It's a Yankee cemetery, and if you look at it as the Confederate versus, you know, the Yankees, I'm Southern. So you throw a little bit of the Confederate into the mix, and watch them in experience, don't like that.
Don't like that.
They don't like that at all. So I made the unfortunate mistake of telling them that I was a Confederate soldier in a Union cemetery. And they threw me down the flight of stairs the following month. So I was doing good.
Sounds
now,
like you're the sacrifice, Riley.
Sacrifice in the name of the game, man.
That same cemetery, in the heart of it, there's a, I don't know what you would call it. What's that house?
It's a huge mausoleum.
Yeah, it's like a mausoleum. And I want to say 2 years ago, I got hit in the back with a rock.
Oh, wow.
And we went there recently with
PXD.
Oh, Rachel and Jim DePaul.
Paranormal expeditions.
We were, you know, asking questions in the same location, just, you know, walking around looking and I think Rachel was sitting down. Jim and I were over
on the other side
to one side. You were over near the Celtic cross. And
I was sitting next to Rachel,
rock,
and I kept telling Stephen before you walked away, I said, "My teeth are vibrating." I kept telling you, "Did you hear me say that?" Because I even caught that in the audio.
Yeah, but you had gotten up and walked over near the Celtic cross.
And then I was 2 feet away from Rachel Hoffman when a rock was, like, you could hear it. It sounded like a boulder falling from the trees.
It was a big rock. It got thrown right in front of her.
Wow.
She freaked. It's like, what the F was that?
Well, because there's a paved, like, road right there.
We will take you guys.
So when it hit, you know, when the rock hit the boat, I mean, you could hear that. It was like, you know.
We will take you guys down there. We'll take anybody who wants to venture in there with us.
Let's do it.
We won't take a big number of people, granted, but we will take, you know, a few people here and there because it does drain on me. Like, you go to a rock show that lasts a weekend long.
Did you listen to the EVPs on that, or the audio levels?
I've only gotten to yours audio, and, I'm still going through. Like, I do my audio a little bit different. I kind of am meticulous about it. I go every 20 seconds, and I go through it. If I don't hear nothing, I trash it. If it's the next 20 seconds, and that's how it rolls.
If she finds something, if she finds something, what she does is she'll save it to the side, and then I'll take it, and I'll do a spectral analyzation on it, and see, you know, where the voice falls, and see if it's, you know, in the human range or below that or. So we really go through it, you know.
You know what else really helps, and I don't know if anybody else does this, I close my eyes. When I'm listening to a piece and I know, like, I'll take a 10-minute section or maybe less than that, depending, and I will sit back and I will close my eyes and I'll have everything else up, just listen to it. And you'd be amazed on how much better you can hear it with your eyes closed versus with your eyes open.
Because you're focused right on that sensory.
I do that too, but half the time I fall asleep. So
yeah.
Then I have to reopen my eyes and go back to the beginning.
30
seconds. That would be
me. That's the only reason why it takes me so long, because it is very, like, it's just draining. It is.
It's amazing. I mean,
everybody
wants to, like, do this, and it's like, you're like, oh, you do? Okay, this is what we do.
They don't, like, know how much work it actually
we
is.
We go through, you know, we have 8 cameras, IR cameras, and we got to go through all the video of that, and then we got the handheld cameras.
I like their
And then
idea,
we got
though.
The video cameras. Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, we go on and on. They lose interest real quick.
I think I'll just watch it on TV.
We had a bigger team at Black Cross Paranormal when we first started. We had, I think, only 5 members, but then we just...
Actually, at one point, we had 8.
Yep.
We had 8 people.
We kicked everybody to the curb because they weren't... Like, I go through everything with a fine-tooth comb, and if I tell you that there's something there in your audio evidence, you know, trust me that there is.
Well, there was some other things that happened.
Yeah.
We just found that we couldn't rely on people, on certain people. And then we ended up, you know, Ryan really wanted to do it with us. And I know he's still a kid, and he'll go every now and again with us. But, you know, we need to make sure he's doing good in school and he's very well grounded at the time. Otherwise, we don't bring him. If
right.
he's going through anything, you know, I mean, now he's
right.
a teenager, you know, teenagers'
what?
Emotions and, you know, girlfriends, and it's like, okay, you know what, you're a mess, you're not coming with us. No. Well, we just need him
good.
To be very focused on the important things in life, like school right now, and, you know, not worry about bringing him, you know, on an investigation when he's not focused.
Right, and that's important. I mean, you definitely got to pay attention to that, you know, especially, you know, people who are, you know, feeling sick or, you know, they've got a lot of personal things going on. It makes them vulnerable. And, you know, I think the spirits kind of feed off of, you know, discontent easily.
Yeah.
And,
you
know.
And to attachments and things like that.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like you guys feel almost the same way, where this field is a lot of energy-based stuff. Is that correct?
I would say, whether it's emotional energy or, you know, battery, electrical.
Yeah, I mean, I say like energy, and a lot of people think that I just mean it in an electrical sense, but, you know, it's... You know, I mean, my belief, and you know, I don't put my beliefs on anybody else, but, you know, being an electrician, I know that energy never dies, it just changes form. So, you
exactly.
know, the human body, you can actually measure the energy within your body. And that energy, when you die, I believe, is released. Whether you call it a soul, a spirit, what have you, that energy still goes somewhere. And whether it has, you know, its own free will when it's out there and it can move around and open doors and, you know, that's yet to be seen. But, I mean, it just interests me because anything, something, anytime that something happens, I just want to know what caused it and why it happened.
I don't know if it can open doors, if energy can open doors. I've never actually seen a ghost turn a handle on the doorknob and push it open. I've never seen it push it open.
But we have captured audio of doors opening and closing, drawers opening and closing on their own, in our own home. So we actually have an active home.
And anybody, we've had a few ghost people from Ghost Hunters actually in our house, and they're like, oh, yeah, you guys
They'd be sitting, we're watching TV, and they're like,
what the hell was that?
Like, you got something over in the corner over there in the kitchen? And we're like, yeah, don't worry about it. One time we were in a gathering here, and, we were drinking, you know, I'll admit that. But
I won't.
The thing was is, we had a center island in our kitchen, and there were some people on one side, and I was on the other, and there were three empty cans, and it's a marble countertop island, okay? And it wasn't windy or anything like that, and there were three empty cans in the center of that island. And while we were talking, all of a sudden, all three cans moved right over to the edge and stopped. And the people just looked at me, and they were like, did that just happen?
I'm sitting on the floor with a bottle, just like, yeah.
I know, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, yeah.
See, when it first started to happen, it was very interesting. It was right after Hurricane Sandy, and there was a lot of devastation that happened in our area, and we went for a walk over at North Burial Grounds, checking everything out, you know, seeing if we could pick up any more energy left after the hurricane, because you know how that hurricane could bring energy into a situation. So we wanted to see if it kicked up any spirits, and the people, the groundskeepers that were taking care of the grounds was getting the debris and everything and taking it away because a lot of it had fallen and broken trees and broken stones, and they were throwing the stones away, the broken tombstones away.
Really?
So Stephen on mission, and we actually rescued three pieces of a tombstone that belonged to a child. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. We don't know
they were dumping it. They were going to dump it. And, you know, we asked them, you know, what's going on? You know, and they were just going to dump it.
Wow.
How many people are buried on 35,000 people on 110 acres started since the 1700s. And they're still adding more and more people. So to locate actually where this stone was, to even replace it, they still have everything on paper. They don't even have it switched over to a computer yet, so they would never be able to find the file. So we figured, okay, we're gonna donate it, or we're gonna try to put it in a place where we know that it was gonna be safe, you know, and have it fixed or do something.
You talked to
I talked to John
Davis about it, and he was like, "Oh yeah, ship it to me." And this thing is heavy. We are not shipping this anywhere.
I think I got protected now. I kind of feel like I should protect it, like a mother protects its young. And I have it sitting in our office on rice paper surrounded by crystals, and I take care of it, you know, and I have holy water by it. And ever since then, we just started getting a lot of activity here. And I think with other investigations that we do,
well, not everyone.
We have visitors.
There was things happening.
Well,
there.
I was in the military.
I know. Right. So before you even came in, there were a few things happening. Not to the point where they happen now, but, you know, there were a few things happening.
Stephen actually caught mist forming in our gym.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like a big ball of mist. Yeah,
it was like a smoke almost.
On film.
I don't smoke. I have chronic asthma, and I don't allow people to smoke in the house. So that was very weird.
Yeah, he was telling me all about this, and then I finally came home and saw the picture, and I was just like, it didn't make any sense. So when we really got into this whole, you know, investigating thing, I wanted to investigate the house, but Stephen wouldn't let me. So one night I actually set a recorder out, and we went to bed, and I let it record for 8 hours. And within the first 30 minutes of us going to bed, you can actually hear people walking up and down the stairs, drawers in the other bathroom opening and closing.
Right, in Ryan's bathroom.
Yep.
And Ryan wasn't here at the time, so it was just the two of us.
Wow.
It was wild.
Interesting.
That's
stuff.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So have you
so
done any research?
So after I was listening to it, Stephen's like, no more. I don't want to know no more. I don't want to care. I don't want to know no more.
Well, there was a couple of other, you know, things with the dog. I want to say, was it last Christmas? Last Christmas, I had gotten something, a gift, and it was some kind of shirt. It was a long sleeve shirt, which I won't wear because I'm warm all the time. So I had put it on the edge of the couch. And, you know, it's the middle of winter, so all the windows are closed, right, and everything. And the dog is growling at the shirt. And I look over, and the tag is hanging off the couch. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the dog. And then the tag lifts straight up in the air and then drops down. And the dog runs away from it. And I'm, like, elbowing Riley, saying, Hey. And I was all excited, you know. But little things
wow.
like that, you know, it wasn't anything major, but it was a little thing that actually happened. Another time, Lily, and I don't know, you see pictures of Lily on our Facebook pages. So she was running around the island in the kitchen, running around, barking at the ceiling. And she's barking and backing up, staring at one of the lights. Then the light blows up. I mean, blows up.
Wow.
And, you know, could that have been electrical? Yeah. But, you know, we just chalk it up to something else that's strange that happened in the house, you know.
Wow. Yeah, Stevie has crazy stuff that goes on in his house, too.
Stevie?
You.
You've got to come down from New Hampshire. I want to take you on an adventure. Take you for a 3-day ride to an island.
3-day ride.
A 3-day ride?
Next.
We're in.
What is it, a 3-hour ride?
Oh, my God.
3 days flat. I'm up for that.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah, we did the 3-day thing at
Block Island. Yeah, we stayed at Lindsay Bed and Breakfast on Block Island, and that is one of the most haunted bed and breakfasts out there.
Wow.
They have a keeper built inside the house in the attic, which I thought was very interesting. Our bedroom is right underneath it.
Wow.
Now, and you guys go there for 3-day spurts?
Yeah, we went there for 3 days. We took Ken Acosta with us, and he actually took some of his members from his team, and we investigated this place for Lynn. And we found was something very interesting. We caught a captain from the Navy base. He used to rent one of those rooms.
Another captain? No.
And in that room,
captain,
one of the walls was a virtual map wall of the world.
I can't get away from these captains.
Up with that.
Okay, it was a map wall of the world, and it was laid flat, and its captain from the Navy would stay in this room, and he would map how Germany was invading all the other countries during World War II, and he would know, listening to his ham radio, when the Germans would invade the United States. So he would mark that and try to radio into another tower to let them know, because Block Island is like 13 miles off the coast. He had a massive heart attack at the top of the stairwell and died once he hit the bottom of the stairs.
Oh, wow.
And we had captured something falling down the stairs, and you could see it actually in REM pod. It's like somebody falling down the stairs. And Stephen was in the bed laying, and I was standing in the doorway, and we were doing an EVP session with Ken Acosta, and I heard somebody whispering in my ear. I'm like, Stephen, stop talking to me. And after the third time of me saying that to him, he goes, I'm not talking to you.
And
like,
then,
I didn't believe him.
And then she realized that I was actually like 10 feet away from her and not like right behind her talking in her ear.
That is like the most, like, I don't know, adrenaline rush, you terrifying, pee your pants, like, holy crap, I got to go review this right now situation that happened in like 1 second. And then I ran down the stairs, you know, and like right through Ken's EVP session.
I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys, but have you ever caught anything like a mimic?
A mimic?
Like you say something or do something and then it repeats it later on? Or repeats it at that very moment?
The one thing that we caught was we were actually at a residential house and the client actually had come out into the living room where she didn't actually, we only had one voice recorder. That's all we had in that whole room. And she actually was just going into the living room to take a break to get away from, you know, where we were investigating. And her cat is completely psychotic.
Yeah. It's like one of those, oh, I love you.
Yeah. And then rip your head apart. So she was sitting there patting the cat, and she's like, you know, what you doing, crazy girl?
But she's saying it so quietly that, you know, you can't hear her any other place. It's just
like a sincere, you know, like, oh, how you doing, kitty cat, you know?
She's talking to the cat, and she's like, what you doing, crazy girl?
And then all of a sudden, there was like five voices that did a round.
Like a musical round?
That actually said, crazy girl, crazy girl, crazy girl.
And it's all different voices.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When she actually played it for me over the phone, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Go ahead, Steve.
During the same EVP session that Riley was just talking about, we also captured a mimic. And when I say that, the day before, I was playing a little something on the piano downstairs. And a few of the notes that I had played the day before are heard in the EVP session. Now, the piano's downstairs, and we're all upstairs. We're on the second floor. And so nobody was downstairs, but the piano's downstairs. And we actually had to turn up the volume a little bit on the we had to amplify the, you know how to, you amplify the sound on the EVP to hear it, but it's clear as anything, and it was like, oh my god, you know,
that's insane.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wait, is that a piano? I said, how is that happening? There is no, like, you couldn't play this piano. It was all completely off key.
It was out of tune, but because it was an old piano, but you could still play it, you know. I mean, I played it the day before, and it wasn't my best performance, so.
It's like one of those piano music that you hear in the carnival, and like,
yeah, it's just slightly off-key.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's got to make you sort of double think right there when you start hearing that, you know. It's like, whoa, what?
You know. It's interesting.
The one thing that I notice a lot since I've been doing this is, like, we'll do a lot of K2 sessions or, like, a multiple flashlight session. And before I get done asking the question, it's almost like the spirit knows what my question was going to be. So, like, if I was going to say, you know, turn on the blue flashlight comes on before I'm even done asking what color. I don't know if that happens to you guys, but I've been noticing it more and more.
We don't use the flashlight trick because to us, we've seen like actual video on how that is completely debunked. We really don't know what to believe on that one. And also with the spirit box too, we have two of them. We just don't use them because either we're not doing it right.
We do use them more for...
I use much for fishing.
She's looking at me like I'm crazy. We use them. We even bought the Altec speaker to go with it,
And we've used it. We used it at Slater Mill. We've used it in the graveyard. We've used it a few places. But the thing is we don't count that as evidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. Is it interesting? Is it cool? Yeah. Same thing like the flash. That's how I view the flashlight thing. Is it cool? Yeah. Is it interesting? Is it, you know, I don't know, more than coincidental? You know, awesome.
Right.
But I don't actually, I have a hard time counting it as, you know,
evidence.
Solid evidence.
Yeah, I can tell you that more often than not, you know, it doesn't work for us. But we've had times where it is like dead on and, you know, it will do exactly the thing we ask. I mean, from like us saying, okay, turn on the flashlight that is pointed at so-and-so, and it does it. And then we ask to point at another person who's in the complete opposite side of the room, you know. And this is using several flashlights.
Yeah, it's
and
I'm very
doing
skeptical
it by,
about one.
By color, you know. And, you know, like I said, more often than not, it doesn't really work for us. But there are those moments where, you know, not just the flashlights, but other tools that we've tried out, that they have been dead on. And it's like, wow, that's impressive.
It's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah. But I'm always like, you know, I'm very skeptical about a lot of different tools out there. But I always try and give them the chance to prove themselves to me, you know, and try them out. And before I'm like, I don't think that's going
to
do anything, you know.
That's a good way to be skeptical. So,
what was that?
I was saying, you know, that's a good way to be skeptical. You know, I go into investigations skeptical.
Right.
Yeah.
I always try to debunk
everything. Absolutely.
And whatever's left is that's unexplained would be the paranormal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, Riley, what's the one piece of equipment that you will refuse, that you would never use on an investigation?
Oh, my God. I would never use on an investigation. It would be the spirit box. That would be it, because I would rather take it fishing.
Yeah, actually, she
I have my fishing box. I don't use it for catching yellows. I use it for catching fish.
Yeah, she's never used it. She takes it and uses it as a radio.
And then I take the other half of the speaker to the beach to listen to my music.
Wait a second. Let me get this right. You use a radio as a radio and not as a ghost box?
Yes.
That's amazing.
You know, if I was a ghost box, that's another piece of equipment where it's like it's just a whole bunch of
50, 40.
You know what I mean? Right. But dead on stuff has happened. But to me, it's so hard to, I don't know if my ears are not
tuned in. If you do audio and you listen to this, the one thing you hate having to go through is the white noise the box, because it can deafen you. Do you know what I mean? So unless you know how to take that noise out EVP, you're gonna have to deal with it. That's another reason why I don't like using it. It's too hard to listen to.
You know, we were actually at Rolling Hills Asylum, and you know, I'm like a very skeptical about these pieces of equipment, but we were actually
Rolling
walking.
Hills.
What's that?
I like Rolling Hills Asylum. It says there's a lot of history at the Mississippi Poorhouse.
Love that place.
I'm a history buff. I know a lot of history about a lot of haunted locations in this area. I just love to read. So what were you saying about the Rolling Hills?
We were actually walking down Shadow Hallway. Naomi and myself were about to call it a night, and it was about 3 o'clock, 2:30, somewhere in there in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we happened to walk from this atrium area where, you know, you could wheel wheelchairs down to and sort of look out over the fields. And we walked by three pretty well-known investigators that were in one of the rooms, and they were doing a spirit box session. And as we walked by, the guy that was leading the charge says, you know, can you say my friend's name three times? And clear as day, it was this voice came across and said the name three times. And
first and last name.
Yeah, first and last name. And wow. We stopped, and I was just like, wow, that's amazing. Well, the person that was sort of leading the charge stepped back too and was like, that's crazy. Can you say my friend's name again three times? And it, you know, it clicks around, and all of a sudden it says the name twice, and then it says again the person's name.
Says the word
again. I'm like, did that just say again? You know, and when we spun around, because we were actually going to, like, walk in and sort of see what was going on in the room, the shadow walked the double set of doors of the atrium area that we had just walked by.
From right to left.
Yeah, and I actually shook it off. I was like, I did not just see that. And Naomi says, did you just see that? So, of course, I'm, like, now saying, well, see what? Because I want to know that she saw what I saw.
Yeah, and it was exactly that.
Crazy. Just that.
We love that place. We absolutely love that place.
Yeah, I got to be careful when I go into asylum, being an empath, because it's so much sorrow and dread and just pain that it's still there. It's, believe it or not, it's still there. And
well, they all got to be hit.
It does. We've got invited to go down to Pennhurst. God, hundreds of times, but I cannot bring myself to go into that place because I know the moment I go on the ground, I'm going to start to cry from start to finish.
Well, we did one.
We did in
around
Madden.
Here.
Yeah.
We can't really say what it is.
Because we weren't supposed to, but we did anyway, so.
Because you're the blacks.
That's awesome.
Right?
Don't judge.
No. I'm just going off of what you said earlier. Like, we're the blacks, and we do what we want.
That's right. Gotta love us the way we are, because we don't gotta change nobody. It was really hard for me to go into there, because I would hear things, I'd feel things, and I would tell Stephen, you know, this is making me sick. I gotta get out of here. I couldn't get warm. And at that point, it's like something is attaching itself and won't let go. It's time for me to get out. And when I went over the audio evidence, you could hear orderlies telling patients, we will take your baby from you. You'll never see your family.
Full sentences.
Yeah, just complete and utter just torment they would do to these patients. And that's hard to listen to, you know, when you know that there's nothing that you can do to help.
Right.
That takes a toll on the soul.
You can't
release them. You can't capture them and move them to another location. You can't do anything to help them.
Well, like that child scream EVP being captured. It's just heart-wrenching. If you're a parent, even if you're not, you know, to hear that, it just tears
apart. It was a 5-second EVP. No, it was like a less than that. But there was 3 EVPs within a few seconds, and we caught this at Slater Mills. Like, I walked into a wall of something, and it was a girl singing, a dog barking, and then a little girl saying, "I love you, Mama," and then within that split second, she screamed, "I want my mama," and it was like...
It was a cry, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, she was hurt really bad. And in Slater Mill, they use children as workers in the mills to work on these heavy machines and these mule spinners for cotton. And they were small enough to get in there to fix the thread when the thread broke, but if they didn't get out in time, they would have been crushed.
And many children...
Yeah, they would put them when you know, what do you call them? Like a caseworker type person back then would come and inspect the mill. They would hide the children in the cellar
underneath
the mill. Yeah.
Wow.
In the water.
It's amazing what they would do back then.
Yeah, and then the women would take over. They would start having the women work with the children at the mill because that would help keep the foreman off the children and back to what he was supposed to be doing. So I go in there, and I get mad, and I tell him, "Hey, I'm going to take your job. How do you like that? How do you like a woman coming to take your job, Hank?" Because that's his name. He smacked me across the mouth.
Wow.
Because women don't speak like that in the 1700s.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Mm.
Nowadays, we expect it. No. Well, I do.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, things have definitely changed. Definitely.
I'm getting the look like you better not even agree.
No, that is so not true. Oh, my God.
Grace, she doesn't even have to say it. She just uses the eyes.
So,
let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
As a couple, as a team, I'm sure you guys don't agree on every piece of evidence that you guys come across. Right? I'm sure that there's a little bit of a disagreement on what you hear versus what Naomi hears. How do you guys solve it?
Well,
I'm always
Steven
right.
Also,
I'm always right. I got the final say.
I mean, we actually, as teammates, we're really good, I think, as teammates. I mean, don't get me wrong, all of our team, we have just a fantastic team that, fairly recently grew to even larger than what it's been. And every single one of them are fantastic investigators and bring something great to the table. But I have always, I'm most comfortable and I think work the best with Steve. And
bounce
off each other very well. And he will have me listen to his stuff. And, you know, I will tell him straight out, you know, this is what it is. And he's like, oh, no, it's not. And I'll be like, no, just listen to it. Really listen to it. You know, this is what happened. This is, you know. And I think, you know, he respects my opinion and I respect his. And
I respect everybody's on the team's opinion.
But as Steve being the founder of the team and the leader, he is actually probably the hardest on everybody with their evidence.
I tear people apart.
Yep. He I wouldn't say you tear people apart, but he asks every single question that should be asked. Like, well, what about this? What was happening? You know, are you sure it wasn't this person?
Sounds
like that. He like totally tears people's EVP dreams apart, which is awesome.
Let me clarify that. What I do is I look at it from an outsider standpoint. So I would rather tear somebody's evidence apart instead of have, say, you guys tear our evidence apart. Or, you know, not so much you, but, you know, just people that are watching it. If somebody else is going to look at it and say, well, what about this? It could be this. Well, you know, that's sort of what I want to look at first. So when people do ask that question, I can sort of say, yeah, we've looked at all that, and this eliminates all of that, and this is what we got. So I guess I am the hardest on the evidence, but I sort of expect it on mine too, you know. What I'll do is I'll review my evidence, and I'll flag a bunch of stuff that I think I might have, and then I bring it to Naomi. Naomi will weed that number down, and then we bring it to the team. And what we have left, you know, has been well gone through and analyzed by the whole team, and then that's what we get. That's sort of how we do it.
Yeah, definitely. But I think everybody kind of appreciates the input from one another, and I think it's cool, very, very cool.
Yeah, I also have the stand of, not every place is going to produce evidence. And,
well, most.
You know, you get a lot of teams out there that they go into a haunted location, and it's like they have to find something, so everything is haunted. And it's like, I just don't buy that. There are going to be the times when you're walking into a location, even a well-known place, where you don't get nothing, you know?
Yeah, and it depends on if they want to come out. And
I sort of think it is odd if with all these teams that come up with paranormal evidence, one after another for every investigation that they go on.
And a lot of it.
Right. So, I mean, not to say that.
Well, I know that if you guys come on an investigation with us, you might not catch anything on video, but you definitely will catch audio. It never fails.
Here's the thing with Riley being the way she is.
She is like a frigging magnet. Not just to the creepo guys on Facebook, but to the spirit.
Love that other box, huh?
But to the spirit, you know, I mean, and she always does the EVP work, you know. I mean, she carries the digital recorder more than I do. I'm more, you know, doing the millimeter and the POV glasses. And actually, we have gotten some EVPs, some really funny EVPs off of the glasses.
Yeah, we actually caught, believe this or not, I think it's two spirits having sex. The moaning.
And actually, we didn't catch it. Pete Diamond
did it, yes. Well, we were on the investigation with him.
And we were all reviewing it. I say we were all, Riley and I and Mike Markowitz, you know, and if you guys know Mike, I mean, he's an EVP specialist, you know. We look up to him. Actually, we bounce things back and forth.
Yeah, when we can't get a decision on what we hear, we throw it his way, and he settles it for us.
he does the same with us. He'll throw in something to listen to, you know, or whatever. Which is cool. It's nice to have other people that, you know, they dig deep into, like yourselves, you know, you dig deep. And if it's not worthy, you're throwing it out, you know.
Right.
Or if it's not,
exactly.
If it's debunked, if you can debunk it in any way, shape, or form, you're throwing it out.
Yeah, a lot of people, when they do EVPs, they try to listen for the Class A's and the Class B's if you want to put it in a class type of category. What I do is I try to go to the lowest level of the audio on the same frequency as the tape recorder's mechanical sounds are actually being made. And,
right.
And then I try to work my way that way. And a lot of times people will not say, oh, that's not what it is. I mean, I've gone round and round with people about evidence. And, you know, it's just... everybody's going to have their own opinion. So we stopped putting evidence out there for people to comment on. We just started putting out evidence out there for people to hear. Because I would lose
right.
my
we'll,
head.
We'll put it on our website rather than on Facebook.
Right.
But, I mean, we still get well-known people in the community that send us their stuff so we can analyze it.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's funny, we also get, you know, the newbies or the, you know, the inquisitive types that send us photos or what have you.
Oh, I love the newbies when they send us photos because they try to say, oh, well, this is how it is. And then Steve runs it through a certain program he has, and he's like, oh. This
and
is
I
how
tell
it.
Them, you know, I tell them the shutter feed. I tell them, you know, all kinds of information. And I tell them my opinion. And I say, you know, if you ask me, I think there was movement on the camera with slow shutter speed. And, you know, you've got a reflection
right.
here on the mirror, and I can see a window on the side with light peering through, and
right.
this is what I think.
And they're like, no.
And then, and I said, now, you know, can I definitely say it's not paranormal? Of course not, but this is my opinion. And then I'll get an email back saying, well, we're going to go with paranormal. And I'm like,
right. but see,
why did you
just,
send it to me?
Right.
You know?
just that. That you know, that analogy and what happens once you give them your opinion, then it can't be paranormal because you know somebody else has said
debunked
it could
it.
Be this,
yeah.
And whether they believe it or not, it's still another way of looking at it. You know.
Well, I think also you're giving them the opportunity to open their mind to
right.
future. Evidence to think, oh, well, you know, maybe Stephen was right about this. Maybe, you know, in this picture, maybe that's, you know,
I'm gonna
a
start
reflection
sending you
from
some
a
stuff.
Window that's across the room or, you know what I mean? I think you're probably, even though they want to make it paranormal, they're probably still learning from that, you know, for their future evidence that they look at. So.
When I get evidence now, I'm going to give it to the team and then I'm going to give it to the Blacks.
Yeah, there you go.
Great.
Yeah, give her something.
I'm gonna be couch bound for weeks, so I'm gonna need something.
Yeah, when is your surgery? It was supposed to be last week.
So let everybody know, because people are probably wondering what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
I was on my way to the Hartford Comic Con, and I was wearing heels, and I was rushing down the flight of stairs to get there on time, and I tripped and I fell, and I had previous surgery on my left ankle because I had torn a tendon years and years ago. So that's what I thought it was. But what it is the ligament that helps stabilize the ankle. Has ruptured. So they have to go in and they have to drill a hole through the bone to put a rope through with a button on the other end and anchor it that way, because I have no stability. So it was supposed to be an outpatient procedure, but I guess they had moved it to the hospital now, so it's this Friday or next
Friday. Well, because the podiatrist surgeon, because of the location and the way it is, he cannot perform the surgery with his counterpart. Orthopedic surgeons need to be involved, so they've got to go to the hospital. So they canceled it last Thursday night. Surgery was supposed to be done Friday morning. They canceled it Thursday night. And now, actually, she went to see them today, and they're supposed to call it. They were supposed to call her back within the
hour. So now I'm going to have buttons and ropes and screws and rods. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Next week.
I hope everything goes very, very smoothly and you heal very quickly.
I will.
I'm just, the fact, last winter I broke my foot in two places and I had to get screws put in. It was pretty much down for that. But I got through it with some medicated caramels and, I got it through the doctor, through the care center, so it's all good. And you know what? I am for it. It is a hell of a lot better than painkillers, and it works a lot better than painkillers does. I would eat a caramel. I gained 2 pounds, but I mean, shit.
I love Steven.
I put my foot in a snow boot and went outside and stuck my foot in the snow. I mean, I was tired of the ice pack kept falling off. I couldn't keep it cold, so I sat outside for a while.
Well, there you go.
I just like Kenny from South Park. It worked. So the only thing you saw were my eyes.
And you couldn't barely see those.
Another squinted as it was.
Oh,
we really
goodness.
Need to get out there and go investigate with you guys. I've had so much fun tonight.
It's a lot of fun. It is. It's a lot of fun. We do have a good times, but we take it seriously when it's game time. When it's showtime, I get really serious about it. But then afterwards, it's like I leave it at the door and we cut up and we laugh and we have a great time.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we do the same thing. I mean, it's all it's all about the seriousness of it, but the same token, we like to have fun. So if nothing's really going on, it's really a quiet night. Every now and then, you'll see me dancing on the IR cameras.
It's to wake everybody up, make sure everybody's watching that over at home base.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might moon somebody. You never know with me. I might walk through. Whoop, sorry.
I haven't done that yet, but I've salsaed.
Now they're going to be lining up to investigate with us.
No, they've seen enough half-naked butt on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and every other social media you see out there.
There you go.
And to be honest, people ask me, do you dress like that to go on investigations? I'm like, yes, I wear 7-inch spiked stiletto heels. It's like, chop through the forest or the graveyard.
That's some talent.
Right?
I haven't had enough time doing it with my
On
sneakers.
The USS Salem.
Right. Yeah, so I won't do it. Oh, I actually like to wear, sweatpants and sneakers.
Oh,
honest to God, I want to be as comfortable as possible because when it hits the fan, it usually does. I want to be sitting down. I want to be in a sitting down position.
Because it usually hits your face.
Yeah, because it usually hits my, and it's like when you get that sick feeling, it's like being on the teacup ride at Disneyland and you just rode it 100 times.
Yeah.
And you get dizzy. And the ground is moving one side and the other side is moving the other direction. So you want to be in a comfortable seated position when that happens.
Right. Definitely. So I would love for each of you to tell our listeners something about yourself that no one knows. And it gets quiet.
See, my mind goes right to the dirty stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I think you got the look right then, Steve. I'm only guessing that you got the look.
No, I'm actually concentrating.
No.
Well, Steve and I share part of our lives with, you know, the public, but we like to have our lives private a lot of the time. So let's see. I hate, and this is with a big passion, I hate frogs, and I hate raw cotton, like the kind of cotton that you have to put in an aspirin bottle. I can't touch it.
Really?
I get the heebie-jeebies. I get the heebie-jeebies really bad. And the funny thing is that Slater Mill is a cotton mill, and I didn't know that there was raw cotton bins. Sam, I'm seeing him right next to him in the dark and didn't even know it.
Oh, wow.
And the lights come on and I'm like, oh, my God, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. Now, frogs creep me the hell right out. Don't like them. They're icky. Steve and I got into a big argument because one was at the bottom of the stairs and I tried to take the dog out. I am not afraid of much in this world. I am not. And she put a frog or cotton in my direction, and I'm gone.
Wow.
That's a good
that's
one.
Gonna... Yeah.
I don't know. Some people might know this about me, so I don't know if it counts. But I can get wicked OCD, and to the point where, I mean, I'm driving Riley crazy sometimes with it. And it could be, you know, I'm asking her if she washed her hands. I'm like, it gets
bad. I was actually, you know, cooking chicken. This was like last week. And I always do it the old-fashioned way, you know, where the old Italian woman will throw the dish rag over the shoulder so it's right there, you know, to use if you need to clean your
right.
hands right away. So I cleaned my hands after I washed them with the chicken. I dried them off on a towel. And I threw the towel over my shoulder, and he steps away from me like I just am covered in flies. You know what I mean? That's what he's looking at me like, I'm not hugging you until you change your shirt.
I couldn't do it.
I'm not coming near you until you change your shirt. I'm like, why? And he goes, because the chicken towel touched your shirt. I'm like, what? Like, I had to, like, seriously ask, like, what? And I'm like, well, I guess you're shit out of luck because I'm not changing nobody.
Yeah, the chicken towel.
I mean, he gets to that point where it's like, well, too bad. And he will be like, and just walk away like she's five.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost like I have a meltdown or something.
He does, like he's five.
I can't control it. It's terrible. And it usually has to do something to do with cleanliness or, you know what I mean? Like it has something.
Wait. And if a fly, I got to tell him. One fly. God, he hates flies so much. After I cooked dinner, I wrapped it in tinfoil, but there was a little piece where I didn't wrap and a fly came out from underneath. Now, I grew up in the country, so that really doesn't matter to me. But he hates that. I had to throw the whole dinner out after I spent an hour and a half cooking it.
I'm not talking...
Because one fly landed on it.
The fly could have laid eggs.
Yeah, it did, I'm sure.
Steven, be quiet. Both of you are hot.
I'm sure it laid 500 eggs.
Right.
And,
every time it landed.
Because you have shit piles hanging around.
I'm on board with you, Steve.
the neighbor's house, the neighbor's dog.
Come on now, we're really actually pretty good people to our neighbors. Our house is like 30 feet away next to the other neighbor's house, and they have a little dog that's a Yorkie, and it weighs a pound. Well, this little pound Yorkie kept pooping in our yard because we don't have
they don't,
it, and they don't
clean,
they don't
up after their dog.
Oh, that drives
so
me
after
crazy.
After going on back and forth for 2 years of fighting with them, I finally got sick of this dog, and I picked up its poop with my glove hand, and I splattered it against the house.
He had a glove on. He had the glove.
Wow.
It's like a softball hitting the side of the house. I was pissed.
It was a walk-by shitting.
Next thing I know, the cops are at my door. Oh, my God. I'm like, are you really going to arrest me for throwing poop?
And the cops said, we would have done the same thing.
Oh, really?
So hey, they wanted, the cops said, you got to catch this dog and ask him because that was my word against theirs. So you know what we did? We took our night vision cameras.
And we set them up.
And we set them up in the backyard. If we could do it during an investigation, we could do it in our backyard.
And right. We caught it.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
So what happened?
They got fined $250 for lying to animal control.
Nice. Right around Christmas time, too.
Ooh, that's rough. Right then.
That's karma.
Well,
that's shit.
I mow the lawn. I mow the lawn.
Never poop in the black yard. That'll teach you.
Now, if, you know, with my OCD and I'm mowing the lawn, if there's a piece of poop in the yard, guess who's going to find it? I'm going to find that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to step in it, and I'm not going to get it on the mower's tires.
So now you know what I have to live with.
OCD.
And I love it.
You know I like to poke the bear, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I like to poke the bear and get him going. I'll get a chicken on my hands and they'll chase him around the island with my chicken fingers.
That's not even funny.
Awesome.
Terrible that she does that.
Like the poke bear.
She's gonna chase you around tonight.
You guys kill me.
Get it in while you can. Before the surgery.
Right. Well, do you guys, do you have any, like, besides Riley has her big thing coming up at that, it's in Rhode Island, correct?
This later
comic.
Oh, the
comic.
Rhode Island Walcott.
Yeah. When is that? It's in November,
that's
right?
It's November, the first week of November. I think it's the first, second, and third, or the second, third, and fourth. It's the first week.
Wow. Is that in Providence?
Yes, downtown Providence at the Dunkin' Donut Center.
I thought it was a convention center.
Convention center. Isn't that the same thing?
No.
We might have to take a trip.
Yeah.
The 2 second things. The convention center. I want to go and meet Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, the Hulk will be there?
Yeah, he's going to be there. Captain Kirk's going to be there.
Captain Kirk.
We actually, for Terracon, we actually had, we met Dee Snider. Dee Snider was walking around and actually came over to our table to take a picture with Steven. And his roadie or his manager had a camera. And now Dee Snider is a very tall man. I have to look up to him.
Yeah, he is.
And so is his road manager. He's another tall dude. And we had Lily there. You know, Lily was there making her appearance. She thought the camera was something like a flash or something. And she doesn't like that, because she thinks it's a hawk or a bird trying to hurt Steven. So she literally jumped 3.5 feet straight up and knocked the camera right out of the guy's hand.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yep. Knocked it right out. People were, like, standing around in a circle as Dee Snider made its appearance. And they really didn't care more about the picture. They only cared about the dog jumping 3.5 feet straight up in the air. I'm like, really?
I mean, the guy had the strap, so it didn't go anywhere, but
good.
It knocked it out of his hand. She knocked it right out of his hand.
And Lily's a peanut.
Well, she kind of got a little bit excited for everybody walking around in costume. It scared her, so we had to take her back. because we only live like 3 miles away. So I wanted her to make her appearance, but then everybody in a scary Halloween costume just freaked her out.
Oh, wow. She's so cute. We love Lily.
She's a good girl.
She's a paranormal pup.
Yeah, there you go.
She needs her own little, like, everybody knows her in the paranormal community, that's for sure.
She needs her own little Black Cross paranormal, like, T-shirt thing or something.
I'm gonna get a T-shirt from Scott Grimwald that says "Para Whore and Train."
Oh. She's been fixed.
I don't care. When I take her for her runs, she runs with me every day, twice a day. She knows every male dog in the neighborhood within a 6-block radius.
Yeah, she sniffs them right out.
Oh, my God.
And because she knows them, I have to know them. And since I'm not going to be walking for a few weeks, Steven has been taking Lily on walks with me, that I got to introduce him to every dog that she knows. So now Steven knows.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, you know.
You know.
This conversation just turned.
Well, you guys, it's been so much fun having you on.
You're going to end it on that note?
Yes.
You never know what to expect.
Huh?
You never know what to expect.
Right?
It's always
Thank
a party.
Thank you so much,
like
guys, for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
And we hope you come down to Rhode Island. You guys can stay here at the house. We have the big house, a lot of room.
We would. So maybe we'll have to come down for the Comic-Con. That would be fun.
Hey, that'll be a blast.
I might be in crutches. I'm a
movie. We can push you
I have to dress. I was here thinking Batgirl, Superman. I have to dress in costume.
Oh.
I was thinking lots of duct tape, but somebody already beat me to that last Rhode Island Comic-Con.
No.
So.
No.
That is awesome. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being on our show, and we can't wait to see you guys again. And is there any information you want to give out if anybody wants to kind of look you up or
how to buy your glasses?
Yep, but definitely buy
your
glasses.
Yeah, you can come visit us at www.blackcrossparanormal.com. You can click on store, and then you can find the glasses right there. The POV glasses are for sale. We have them in stock. Get them while supplies last, because Halloween is right around the corner, and we sell them out fast.
We sold out last year at this time. They were quick, so.
Yep. Get them while you can. And we are here for tech support. Steven will help you through any problems you may have,
questions.
He's always, around to ask. And he'll go step by step with you until,
get comfortable.
Exactly. We're bringing Black Cross Paranormal out of the shadows, and we're going to be focusing more on doing historical locations. So you're going to see us out more doing the paranormal thing, and not so much doing the clubs. The radio thing we've actually put away for a while. So that's and we don't have really anything up and coming except for the Rhode Island Comic Con. We might be in Salem, but it'll only be for a quick. Visit.
Like a day, a one-day thing.
Yeah.
And we may still be doing Tucson. I'm not sure.
Oh, next year, for 2015, we are starting to roll. We're going to be in Tucson, Arizona, actually in Tombstone, Arizona. Going to be doing that. Yeah, we're going to be doing Sloss Furnace.
As far as
we know, it's going to be in February, so 2015 is looking up for us.
Awesome.
We're going to have to get out with you guys and hit a historical location.
Definitely.
Sounds good.
Definitely.
You can find us on Facebook.
You can find me.
Black, Riley Black.
There, I try to duplicate, but there's only just one Riley.
Right?
Thank God. Guys, thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it. Can't wait to see you guys soon.
Yes.
Our pleasure.
You guys are always welcome on our show. Always. And we'll see you guys soon. Thank you so much for coming on.
Take care, guys.
All right. Have a good night. Take care.
You too.
Bye. Oh, love them. They're so much fun.
That was crazy. I do. I love those guys. I mean, we have so much fun when we're down there at different locations and different, paracons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like he said, you never know what you're going to get. And I sort of like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, anybody who's listening, and if you're in the Rhode Island area, definitely go check them out at the Rhode Island Comic Con in November, because they're filled with great information. Awesome to just sit down and talk to.
Very approachable.
Yep, absolutely. And we didn't even talk to him, but Steven, he's very good at like graphic stuff and does a great job with their presentation. I was very impressed the first time we met them.
Yep.
What a great job they have when you go to their table and their display of stuff on the TV and everything.
They actually did the advertising, I believe, for the 2013 Paranormal Awards.
Actually, they did both.
Did they?
And 14, which unfortunately the 14 was delayed. Well, I wouldn't say delayed. We'll continue in 2015. But anyways, we are psyched that they were able to join us. Looking forward to next week when we have Chris Rondina coming on. This guy is a great author. He wrote Vampires in New England, Ghost Ships in New England, and Ghosts in New England.
They're all in New England.
Yeah. He actually has on one of them, it's all stories, true stories, that he has put into it. And the reviews on these books are
You're telling me vampires are real?
I don't know. You'll have to talk to
I'm interested.
That. Yeah?
Yep.
I know. That's definitely an area that we have not covered. That is an area we have not covered in on our show. So that'll be cool. I can't wait to have him on.
Yep.
Definitely someone you want to talk to, very approachable if you ever see him at any of these Paracons. And he also so kindly is donating his book. And also it's going to be signed by him as well for our event. And also an investigation. I can't remember off the top of my head what the location is, but I know
so you're going to have to go on our site and check him out.
Yep. We don't have them up yet.
I know. It's October.
It's been a busy month. So just a reminder again to make sure you get your tickets for our event coming up at the Seacoast Repertory Theater in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. If you've ever been in Portsmouth, it is along the river. It's actually a outstandingly beautiful view in the heart of the historic Portsmouth near the tunnels. There are so many fantastic stories.
A lot of people don't even know about the tunnels.
Yeah, which you'll be able to come and actually hear about the experiences that some of the team has had in the
theater.
The theater, yep. I'm getting tired, as we can tell.
And also the group from the Seacoast Rep, they will tell you their stories of what happened and what happened on their experience of My Ghost Stories. So.
Yep, so you'll see the segment. You're also going to get the gallery reading, which is going to be awesome.
We're going to show
investigation,
some evidence.
Show evidence. We have the raffles. This is all for a great, great cause.
Question and answer period, walkthrough, haunted investigation, you name it. Let's go have some fun.
And there might be some surprise guests there that
maybe
you might recognize, which will be awesome.
It's going to be fun. We're going to be there.
Yes, definitely. So that'll be a lot of fun. So look on Facebook, on our pages. Check us out. We also have a website, www.seekingtheunknownrealmsociety.com. Check us out there. There's more information on the event there. And definitely make sure you like our pages on Facebook for STIRS and STIRS PI. And then, of course, Into the Unknown Realm with Steve and Naomi.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Yes, a big happy birthday to Steve. Our quiet Steve in the chat room. Hope it was a fabulous birthday. Well, to all our listeners, thank you so much for spending the evening with us. And we hope that you have a fabulous week. Until next week.
Happy birthday, town.